Hallelujah. Well, Brother Richard is preparing to come and break open the bread of life. And as he comes, just a quick word of encouragement to you around perceived inconveniences and perceived adversity. There are some things that they're just the devil. And we know the things that are not of God, that are of the devil, that the tricks and schemes that he uses. But there are things that come about throughout the day, throughout the week, that aren't necessarily what we perceive them to be. They inconvenience our flesh. They don't go along with what we had planned for the day or for the week. And we sometimes have a tendency to look at those situations and those circumstances and say, oh, well, yeah, see, that's just the devil trying to do this, the devil trying to do that. Sometimes we need to understand that perceived inconveniences might be an opportunity. That just because you got, call it what you want, held up in traffic and didn't get to your destination at the time that you wanted to, who knows but that the ministering angels were keeping you from a wreck, from an accident. The fact that your meeting got pushed to the next week, the fact that things didn't work out the way you thought and constructed in your mind that they were going to work out, who knows but that temporary perceived inconvenience is bringing about a greater testimony and something that God is working in if you'll just let it play out. So there are times where you just need to trust God in some of the circumstances. The Bible says that this light affliction is producing an eternal weight of glory that's far beyond comparison. And who knows that some of the challenges that come up are an opportunity for a testimony of the goodness of God working in your life. So let's have the right perspective on some of the things and some of the challenges that come up. We don't want to say something is God when it's not God. And we don't want to give glory to the devil. But at the same time, know that God knows how to work in the midst of every situation to bring about good and to bring about victory no matter what it is you're going through, no matter what it is you're dealing with. Amen? Amen. Brother Richard, come.
Okay, before I get started, Michelle, did you see my notes? You didn't look at them. Brother Brian, did you see my notes? Okay. Let's pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. Satarobo kostore kidia sataraba. Sedela la masoto rombo de kidiende kesoro montore be de barria starrekidi. De la casuro mata pasarabato store anamata sanda kidiende. Mandore berribi sedele katosodora bata starrekatise. Le manamondora gara carabande robo rebedi anala la basoto robodi. Ber mator makati arashtar rako shurre ke hestedi anakare ete hele baluhul en le ele alandor alamele ki li anda hada basturro kuti bendore ke di anda asturro burra basserre bisidi di ela kasudur baia sharrumo sudurre bedisidi di adada kasata rabata. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here in this place and that you do all things decently and in order. Father, as we come before you and we bring your word to you, Father God, we know that it does not return void, but you accomplish what you will through your word, and it will be accomplished this night. Father, open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to us. Open our spiritual eyes that we may see what you are showing us this night, that we would learn, that we would grow and be more mature in our sonship, Father God, that we would be about your business more and more in doing that which you have called us to do and what you have redeemed us from and to. We celebrate you tonight, Father. We thank you. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. The reason I ask, it's probably pretty obvious, the reason I ask her and the reason I ask him if they saw my notes because they walked all over them. And generally when I'm going to be teaching or whatever this is I'm doing up here, I guess it's teaching, generally we work together. Michelle and I work together for the song list. We pray about what God wants us to, what the Holy Spirit, how do we praise the Lord? How do we bless the Lord? How do we invoke the presence of the Spirit into the sanctuary so the people can, so you can be brought up into his presence? And we seek the Lord for that, and then, you know, well, what do you got? What do you got? And we go back and forth, and a lot of times it's, you know, it's we pull up the parking lot before we got something. And then sometimes we'll just throw stuff in that. But usually when I teach, I let Michelle kind of take the most of it, and she is just right in line with what I'm talking about tonight. How many of you ever heard the phrase, what you see is what you get? Yeah, it's a new one. Generally, that statement is made when one is proclaiming that they are what they are. And if you want them for what they are or what they can offer, what you see about them is what you can expect from them. Now, generally, also, that means that they know they may be rough around the edges. You know, they may be less than perfect. They may be ugly. They may be ignorant, opinionated, backwoods, redneck, or other such social unacceptability. But don't even think about trying to change them because they are what they are. What you see is what you get. And I'm not going to change just to try to please you. I will add right here that some people in circumstances and some things are worth changing for. Just let that be where it is there. Okay? If you're going to be so selfish and stubborn, you might miss out on some good stuff. Amen. Now, I haven't been pondering this phrase for several years. Matter of fact, it has not even crossed my mind until last night when I was writing these notes. Okay? So this is not what I'm talking about. the only reason I brought it up is because it is similar to what I have been meditating and studying on for the last week or two, and that is what you say is what you get, okay? Not what you see. As a matter of fact, there is a ton of scriptural evidence that proves the saying, what you see is what you get, is probably just the opposite of the truth, okay? If you can see it, no matter how steadfast or resolved or stubborn a fact is, and, you know, you can come up against some pretty stubborn facts, it is still subject to change, especially when the light of truth hits it and illuminates it. And I think this is what Brother Brian was just talking about. When you can see it in the light of truth, generally, it's not really what it appeared to be in the first place. Okay? That inconvenience turned into a blessing. Okay? How many of you ever woke up in the middle of the night and you looked across the room and there was a person standing there? Until you turned the light on, then you saw that it was some clothes laying over a chair. Okay? Wasn't quite what you thought you saw. We have in our bathroom, it's kind of long and from our master bedroom, we have a chest of drawers sitting down there. And at one time, Michelle had a little pot of flowers or something sitting on top of it. And then there's a window on the other side of it. And I would get up at night, open the doors, walk in, and there was a person standing right there in the window. flip the light on. Oh, it's just the chest with a flower pot on top. But the flower pot, the way it was a silhouette against the window behind it, looked like a head with a neck, because it, you know, kind of come up and there was the flowers. So the first couple of times I went in there, it's like hair stands up in the back of your neck, and you flip the light on. It's a flower pot, okay? When you look at stuff through the darkness of the world, they can kind of get scary sometimes. The world is full of darkness, and if you happen to venture over into that realm and you start looking at some stuff, it might get kind of scary. But when you let the light of truth shine on it and you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth about that thing, then maybe it's not so scary after all. It's not even what you thought it was in the first place. That inconvenience was turned into a blessing, and you can go on with it. Michelle's dad used to write a lot of songs a long time ago. And there was one verse of one of them that we actually sang it here long way back on Runberg. Mama Joe would sing it. But it was very profound and ties into what I'm talking about here. And it goes like this. Don't you know old Satan's happy when he sees you in defeat? Though he has no power to hit you or hurt you or harm you. I'm not sure what that word is. Is it hit? Hurt? Hit. Ah, I got it right. Though he has no power to hit you, false illusion is his treat. First, he paints a gloomy picture, fills it in with deep despair, and if he can just convince you that it's real, he's got you there. Okay? That's an awesome, you know, and this was, he wasn't taught by Pastor Jim. This was a long time ago. This was a From God song. Of course, we all know 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So when you see a thing or even a person, don't get excited about what you're looking at, because in the first place, it's probably not what it seems. And secondly, it is subject to change, especially if it is contrary to God's word. But there has to be an intervention in there, and that is what we're talking about. So, enough about seeing stuff. We're going here to talk about saying stuff. So, what you say is what you get. You see, well, not see, you understand that man was created with a God quality or attribute or characteristic that is innate in all of us. Even unborn again, heathens have this godlike trait that produces for them. That trait is to speak from what they believe, and it comes into existence, good or bad. Okay? It works both ways. This is established on the very first page of your Bible or of your BlackBerry or whatever device you happen to be reading. You don't have to turn there, but consider with me Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So what we have here is a bunch of water that was completely dark, with the Spirit of God moving over the surface of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, let's stop here for just a minute, because this is pivotal. It's important to where we are going. Notice God didn't wish for light. Okay? He didn't ask for light. He didn't say to the angels, hey, can I get some light over here? It's dark. No, he spoke a command. He did command the darkness, did he command the darkness to leave so that the light could be seen? Okay. No, he spoke that which was in him. Okay. He is light. He spoke out of what was in him, what he is, out of his essence. He spoke, and it came to be. The Spirit is light. He is light. The Son is light. There is no darkness in him. He couldn't say darkness be, because there's no darkness in him to come out of him. There's no darkness in him. There is only light. He spoke from the essence, and his essence was manifested. He didn't rebuke the darkness. He didn't curse the darkness. He didn't deny the darkness. He spoke from what he is and what is inside him. He did not speak from outside of himself. Remember that, because that is important when we get a little further down the road. He spoke from within himself, not from without. Let me go on real quick here. Verse 6, then God said. Verse 9, then God said. Verse 11, then God said. Verse 14, then God said. Verse 20, then God said. Verse 24, then God said. Verse 29, then God said. There's a lot of God saying in there, isn't there? And everything God said was manifested by the power of his Spirit, just like he said, and it was good. Matter of fact, verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Okay, why? Because it came out of him. And he is all good and not just good. We sang about it. He's been so good to me. He is very good. What God says is what God gets. Okay? Now, the title of my message tonight is, what you say is what you get. What God says is what God gets. We were created in his image. We'll look at that a little closer in just a minute. Let's look at Matthew 12, starting at verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. Yeshua, talking to the Pharisees, said, "You brood of vipers," and I hate snakes, "how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Get that. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Now, God is not a man. Devil is not a man. But it's very evident that out of God's goodness, everything that he created was good. Out of devil's evilness or rebellion and his yuck, that's what he spews out, okay? So it's the same for man. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Why are you justified by your words, and why are you condemned by your words? Because you speak what's in your heart. Okay? Now let me explain this. So here Messiah is explaining what a man says is indicative of what is in his heart. If a man's heart is good or God, how many of you have God in your heart? So you can say that your heart is God. Your heart is good. He will speak good or God things. If his heart is evil, degenerative, or full of unbelief, he will speak evil, degenerative, and doubtful things. Notice Yeshua said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. He didn't say by your deeds you will be justified or condemned, but by your words. Justified means shown or proven to be right or righteous. Justified, shown or proven to be right or righteous. If some bad guy breaks into my home and comes at me or my family with intent to do harm, I'm going to plug him. Or actually, I'm going to unplug him, and his life is going to leak out all over my floor. Okay? The fact that he is laying there with a gun or knife or whatever is in his hand justifies my action. Okay? The law says that if someone is coming at me with intent to do harm to me or my family or anyone else, I have the right to use deadly force. Okay? Now, if he's retreating or running, I do not. I can't. That is not right. In this case, I am proven or shown to be in the right, or I'm justified in shooting the bad guy. So your righteousness, which is a product of heart faith, and we'll talk about this in a minute, in the resurrection of Yeshua, is shown or proven by your words. That makes sense? Righteousness, which is a product of faith in your heart in the resurrection of Yeshua, that God raised him from the dead, is shown or proven by your words. Paul explained it this way, and you're right, we're going to Romans chapter 10, looking at verse 8, 9, and 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but what does it say? Let me stop for a minute. What does what say? Well, this starts back in verse 6. It says, but the righteousness based on faith says, and then it quotes some scriptures from Deuteronomy, says, you know, who shall ascend into the heavens to bring him down, or who shall descend into the abyss to bring him up. But what it says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. There again, in your mouth and in your heart. Okay? That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, which we did tonight in our singing, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's the reason. Here's his explanation for that. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Okay, let's take that for just a minute. With the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Righteousness comes because you believe in your heart. Not you think with your head, not because you had a thought, but because you believe in your heart. Now, there's something that you have to believe, and that is that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you believe that in your heart, that results in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Okay? Or the mouth proves or reveals and releases what's in the heart. The mouth releases what's in the heart. And it changes things. I mean, if you know, if you believe Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father, and you confess him as Lord, that you're going to be saved. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you can't help but get saved, because that's what God said. That's what the word, that's what's written right here. Back in Matthew 12:37, Jesus said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We just talked about being justified and how that happens, by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. By the same token, condemnation comes, or actually is already inherent, by not believing in your heart. Okay? John 3:18, we always look at John 3:16, but there's some good stuff right underneath there. John 3:17 and 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you are not condemned. That's a good point right there. That's good news. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I know I'm kind of going over this, and it may sound a little redundant, but I want you to get this. So if we believe in our heart, our words will prove our righteousness. If we do not believe in our heart, our words prove our condemnation. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. That's what Jesus said up in the other verse. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The King James says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So up to this point, we've established that the heart, or our spirit man, you understand when I say heart, I'm talking about the spirit man, the real you, the part that's connected to God, and our mouth, our spirit man and our mouth are more importantly, our words and what we speak have a very, very important connection, and our life is governed by these two together, what you believe in your heart and what you speak with your mouth. Those control your life, whether you're righteous or whether you're condemned. Like it or not, what you say is what you get. Now, I don't want you to be deceived, because God is not mocked. We know that scripture. He created us to operate that way. And if you think that you can outsmart God by just saying all the right things, but you don't believe them in your heart, you're only deceiving yourself. Okay? You ain't gonna work. Or if you think that you can believe it in your heart, but just say any old thing that you want to, no. You are deceiving yourself again, and you will reap what you sow, which is the rest of that scripture. It says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, because he created you that way. What you sow, you will reap. Okay. I'm really trying to bring up a positive and upbeat message here, and kind of seems like a downer. But I promise it's fixing to get real good. Just stick with me a little bit longer. You know, you can talk to Pastor Jim for just a few minutes and know what's in his heart by what he speaks. You know what he believes by what he says, and you know what he said, and you know, what did I say? I am thoroughly convinced that what he says he believes, and what he believes he says. Okay? He got that from God. We know what is in God's heart because of what he said. We know that all of creation, everything we see around us, and the existence of our planet came out of God's heart because he said. I listed all those verses where he said, and the earth came about. Part of what he said was that we were to rule, dominate, and subdue the earth, and enforce God, enforce himself in the earth. Man failed and allowed the entrance of evil and hate in his soul. Even though salvation, redemption, sonship, righteousness, and godliness are available to all through the work that Jesus did, not all are walking and living in that provision, because there's a couple of things that have to get in line. Okay? However, the heart of God is still very, very good. And he has given us the charge to change the situations and circumstances of the world by doing the same thing that he did way back there when he started the whole earth thing. If it was in God's heart back then, it's still in his heart today. And he is in our heart today. So guess what we get to do? We get to speak. We get to change the situations back to good, so that God looks at it, he says, that's good. Okay? I want to give you a few examples from our example, Yeshua himself. And I'll go through these regular quickly. I'll just mention the address, but you don't have to look them up. John 8:28. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. Okay? What he had in his heart, that's what he spoke. John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. How does God do his work? By Jesus speaking, because God was in his heart. Okay? That's the same way he does work in us. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent, talking about himself, speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Talking about himself. He speaks the words of God. That's what our example did. John 12:49. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. And then the next verse, John 12:50, I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. That's the way Jesus operated. When we say in our confession that what Jesus, or the way that he spoke, is the way that we speak. The way that he walked is the way that we walk. Are we really? Are we really speaking what the Father has told us? So, where did Yeshua get his script? From the Father. Where was the Father? In Yeshua. In Jesus. Jesus said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? We just read it. Did Yeshua believe everything the Father told him? You better believe he did. He would not have gone through everything he went through if he did not 100% believe what God had told him. Okay? That was a pretty gruesome picture of him, of what he went through to take our sin, to take the wrath of God, all of that stuff. He didn't want to do it, but he believed in his heart that God was going to take him through and that what God said, God would perform, and that's what he said. That's what Jesus said. Do you believe that God is in you? Do you really? Do you believe what God has told you? We say, well, God hadn't told me much lately. You got, there's 66 books, individual books with I don't know how many chapters and how many verses in it that God speaking to you. Yeah, he's talked to you. Do you have the Word of God in you, or is the Word of God only in your lap or on your cell phone? Do your words agree with what you believe? Do your words agree with what you believe? Do you believe what your words say? Just a little bit of time for introspection and looking and soul searching. Do you agree with what you believe? Do your words agree with what you believe? And do you believe what you say? Or are you just idle words that come out? Okay, hear this. The world and the world system is being manipulated and controlled by the devil, and for only one reason, and that is to destroy all things that are godly. God is the enemy. And everything else, most of the heathens, and I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I mean that's the easiest way it is for me to say the unsaved, unborn-again people. Just call them heathens. They all can, at some point, they can get along a little bit. Each one has their own individual ideas and things like that. But they're the thing that solidifies them the most is that God is irrelevant in society and in their life. And they, until God's light shines in their heart, they don't even see it. They don't see it. They can't see it, okay? The devil's job is to destroy all things that are godly. He wants to steal the word. He wants to discredit Christians. He wants to tear everything down that represents God. He knows that the things of God, particularly the sons of God, declaring God's word, are the only thing keeping him from having full control. Okay? The word of God and the sons of God declaring the word of God is messing up his playground. Okay? That's what's keeping him from having full control. And let me say this. He will lie, steal, and cheat and destroy as much as he is allowed to in any given area. What is holding him back from destroying everything is the word of God being proclaimed and declared. I believe that. Because when the Spirit of God is lifted, whoop, there it goes. It's going to go down a real steep slope really quick. We have got to understand and come to the knowledge of the truth that we alone are the authority and we have the responsibility to determine our own existence as well as our family, our city, our state, our nation, and the world. Just look around the world and see the places where the Word of God is not being boldly proclaimed. Those places are nothing but devastated, poverty, and disease-stricken places where everything is evil and there is no good. I do not believe that in places like over in the Middle East where it's just hot desert. We know that in Iraq, there at the Tigris and the Euphrates River and the other rivers that were there, it was a garden. It was a garden, the beautiful garden. It's not a garden now because God is not being proclaimed there. Now, there's Christians there, I'm sure, but to a large extent, maybe their lives are safe. Maybe they're not. But where God is not being proclaimed, there is poverty, devastation, disease. Everything is evil, and there is no good. Without God, you're without good, okay, because God is good. Remember what I said earlier, if it's from God, it is good. We cannot afford to keep silent any longer. Ignoring the hate, the chaos, the mayhem, the destruction and violence will not make it go away. Okay? We cannot ignore it. There should be no warfare. The victory is already won. Okay? The authority and power that has been delegated to us is way more than enough to change what is going on. Do you believe that? Okay. Most of you know the situation or circumstance. I'm not going to name any names or try to even get close to pointing somebody out, but they don't go to this church anyway. When Pastor was in the hospital the first time, there was some people that tried to get us to take him out of that hospital because they had heard that there was some witchcraft going on in that hospital. We're Christian. We're faith-talking, tongue-talking, Word of God, devil-casting out Christians, believers. But we're going to run from a little witchcraft? No, we didn't. Anyway, the authority and power that has been delegated to us is way more than enough to change what is going on. We have, because Jesus said, what did Jesus say? All power and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. We're in him. There's some really good stuff coming up real quick here, so y'all pay attention. We have to believe the word and promises of God in our heart and then speak it out of our mouth. We have to believe the word of God, the promises of God, and then speak them out of our mouth. This is where Michelle was tripping all over or stomping all over my notes a while ago. We can't just think about it or mumble some unintelligible sounds, okay? It's not up here. We can't think about it. You don't change things with your thoughts. You change things with your words. Okay? You even change your thoughts with your words. You say, that is not my thought. That does not line up with what God has said. We must speak it out, let it go into the atmosphere. And there's a reason why it needs to go into the atmosphere. I have one more set of scriptures to digest with you, and then we'll be done. Yeah. Ephesians 1 and 15. And I love this. This is so good. This is one of those things that I hadn't seen it before. And I was looking up one thing way down in the middle of it, and it's like, wow. Ooh. So I had to go back. You know, I was looking down in chapter 2, but I had to keep going back to see, ooh, wait. And I hadn't seen this before. Probably all of you have, but Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, and this is part of Paul's prayer that he prays for the Ephesians, that he prayed for the Ephesians. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That right there is wow. But it goes on. I pray, and this is where I wanted to start, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Ooh, remember that. That God brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Remember. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. We sang that tonight. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now let's just keep on going. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin. This is chapter 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. These, again, are the heathens. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. But God, now listen again, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And what did he do? He raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. He put us the same place he put Jesus. God did that. Heavenly places. He put us the same place he put Jesus, and that was at his right hand, far above all principalities and powers and dominion. That's where we are right now. Okay? This is not. Seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look back up at chapter 1, verse 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. That's what I just said. Far above all. Yeah, okay, I did all that. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. Well, if they're under his feet, we're his body, they're under our feet. So even the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and all that stuff, they're still under our feet. We are seated above them. Do you believe that? Wow. There's so much to say right here. Right now, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above. Okay, I said all that. Let me get down to what I hadn't said. So what does that do for us? Chapter 2, verse 2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Yeah, this is what I want to talk about. Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. What does this mean? And listen to this. I found this, and it resonated with me. In the state of spiritual death, the only walking or living a person can do is according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Okay? That's what Paul said. Cosmos, or world, in this instance here where it says in the course of this world, does not here represent simply the physical creation, but the world order, the world system, or of values and the way of doing things, the world's course. And as Paul makes clear, the course of this world follows the leadership and design of Satan, okay, the prince of the power of the air. It is written right here. I'm not giving him anything he's not allowed to have, okay? During the present age, he and his demon host dominate, pressure, and control every person who is unsaved. He is the personification of spiritual death, because he is a personification of rebellion against God, and so is the system he rules over. The world system is in rebellion against God because Satan is the prince of that system. Satan is the prince and ruler over the world system. Not all unsaved people are necessarily indwelt at all times by Satan or are demon-possessed. But knowingly or unknowingly, they are subject to Satan's influence. Because they share his nature of sinfulness and exist in the same sphere of rebellion against God, they respond naturally to his leading and to the influence of his demons. They are on the same spiritual wavelength. Okay? Jesus told the Pharisees that you are of your father, the devil. So that fits right in with this. Satan rules the power or the demons who occupy the air, the heavenly sphere around the earth. Remember back in Genesis when God separated the waters above the heavens and the waters below the heavens, that was the atmosphere. And then during Noah's flood, the waters that were above came down, and the atmosphere stayed, the heavens, the first heavens, what they call it, the firmament. Yes, thank you. Satan rules and the powers who occupy the air. Unborn again and unsaved men are not free and independent. They are not free and independent. They are totally dominated by the host of evil. Okay? However, that's unsaved people. That's the heathens. However, we who have been born again by believing and receiving the grace and mercy and love of God have, by God, remember, God, seated far above Satan's rule. Do you believe that? We are seated above Satan's rule. The authority and position we occupy in Christ supersedes and outranks the power and rule of the devil. We have Christ's authority right here, right now. And we are supposed to be doing something with it. We're supposed to be doing something with it. Okay? We are supposed to be establishing the kingdom of God right here in the midst of the devil's kingdom and pulling his kingdom down, exalting the king of our kingdom, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The same book that tells us about the devil and his rule also tells us about our authority and power over the devil. So if you believe that the devil has power, the only way that you can believe that is because you read it in the Bible. And the same Bible says that we have power over that, that our power supersedes. So if you're going to believe in the devil, you have to believe in God because it came out of the same book. Okay? You understand that, what I'm saying? We've got to believe the word of God. God set us above Satan's rule. That should cancel out all fear because we're above him. Our authority is above his authority. Satan occupies and rules the air or the atmosphere around the earth, but when we speak the word of God that we believe in our heart, we release the power and authority of that word with the breath of God. How many of you can talk without your breath? Now, you can communicate, but you can't talk. Now, how deaf people can do this or mute people, that's for God to work out. I don't understand that. That's above my pay grade. But to speak, you have to have air going through, and that your breath. God is in you. When you speak his word, you are speaking with the breath of God, just like when he breathed into the first man. It changed something. It created something. It did something. When we, from our heart, from our spirit man, speak the word of God that we believe, it changes things. It's as if God himself is speaking. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our job description. All the things, the go ye, the making disciples, the Great Commission, the equipping the saints, the fivefold ministry, the work of the ministry, the growing up, all of that comes out of speaking the word of God. The breath of God, because he and his word cannot be separated. Even when we speak it, it cannot be separated from God. If God is in here, that's where his word is. You speak it out of your mouth, it cannot be separated from God. It does not return to God void. He accomplishes what he sent it to. Amen? We have to quit complaining about what is wrong and start decreeing what is right, what is good, what is God. We have to start decreeing. You can start with your own body. Start with your family. Start with your finances. Start with, well, I guess you can't start with all those because once you start, then the rest of them are in line. Anyway, start somewhere. Pick one. Start there. And then continue on all the way up to we can affect the whole world. Pastor has talked about, and I don't know who said this, we have yet to see what one man who actually believes God can do in the earth. I know I didn't quote that right, but that's close. We have yet to see what one man who truly believes in God and trusts his word, what that man can do in the earth. I say that all of us together, we can change stuff. We have to change stuff. That's our job description. is to rule and dominate and to bring the earth into subjection to God's will. There's a lot of other wills being displayed recently around the whole earth. But it's our position, it's our authority, it's our place to change those things. We don't have to go fight. We change them just the way God changed the void, the black mass of dark water. He changed that with speaking. We change it. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me. We're gonna make a declaration. Now, this is not for a daily declaration. This is for a you right now declaration. You have to fill in. This is like the bones. This will get us started, and then you can go. You have to start doing this. Okay? Say this. The Creator of the universe, my Father God, lives on the inside of me. His heart is my heart. His mind is my mind. I have the Word of God in my heart. I will speak the Word of God. I will not speak of what I see. I will not speak of what I feel. I will speak of what I believe concerning my life, my family, my church, my city, my state, my country, the earth and the fullness thereof. My mouth and my heart shall be as one. The words that I hear from God, I will receive. I will believe. I will speak. I will no longer be silent about what goes on around me and what affects me. I will use the power and authority that has been delegated to me to establish the kingdom of God and the rule of the King of Kings in my sphere of influence in the earth. I will believe the promises of God. I will speak the promises of God. I will walk in the promises of God. From this day forward, the words that I speak come to pass. Amen. Amen. Now, find you some words to speak. They're in the book. Get them in your heart and then start speaking them. Changing things. Amen? I call you blessed. May the God's anointing and His Spirit rise up within you and cause you to change what is around you, and your sphere of influence and all that you put your hand to is prosperous. Amen. You are blessed. Go with God.